We have been spending probably the last 4 or 5 weeks talking with Minnesota Foster Adoption. It's been so enlightening, and I know there's a lot of people out there that have thought about foster adoption, that are thinking about it, that know people who are. And we've been meeting some of the great staff that work at Minnesota Foster Adoption and kind of discussing different pieces about the process and what the Zero Kids Waiting means. And today we have Haley Weissman with us. Haley is a part of the Zero Kids Waiting program at Foster Adopt Minnesota. She's worked in the adoption field for 9 years as a licensed social worker, placing kids for adoption, licensing families for foster care, and approving families for adoption. And Haley's role at FAM is to provide families with information and referrals to kind of get everything started with foster care and kinship care or adoption, and then answer questions that come up throughout the process. So, Haley, we so appreciate you spending some time with us today. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So we got a list of questions here, and I'm sure everybody's like, oh, this is great. They're listening, and they'll probably have more questions later. But last week, I believe it was Kim Sake that joined us with Zero Kids Waiting. And can you tell me a little bit about how your role and Kim's role differ?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have quite a few programs at FAM, and you'll hear from them throughout the weeks. But Kim and I are on the same program on the Zero Kids Waiting team. So Kim's role really is to raise awareness and provide that recruitment for specific kids who are waiting for adoption. She does a lot of, you know, interviews and meeting with county workers and meeting with the community, again, to kind of raise the awareness and say there's this need for families.
Okay.
And then my job is to kind of move families from there. So tell them what agencies they can work with, tell them what the next steps are, which I'll talk about a little bit today. But yeah, so she's really like that forward-facing role, and I'm kind of that next step, telling families where to go from there.
That's a good team. That's a good approach. I like that. What are some frequently asked questions that you get from families?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the most common type of question is, can I adopt if blank? This is my situation. Would I still be eligible to adopt? Oftentimes it's single parents calling, saying, you know, just as a single parent, can I adopt? Or, you know, as a single parent working full time, can I adopt? You know, I don't own a home. I live in an apartment. Can I adopt? I have other biological children, or I've never parented before. Can I adopt? And the short answer is yes. We are looking for any and all families, and we expect that they will be as unique and diverse as any other family, and as unique and diverse as the kids in care. So the most important factor really is that a family has the ability to meet the needs of the kids in their home.
Right. Okay. Can you talk about, there are differences, and this is, it can get a little confusing if you don't ask, and people are sometimes shy to ask. There are differences between foster care, and then there's kinship care, and then adoption. What are the differences between those three?
Yeah, so they're all very similar, and like you said, it can be confusing if you don't know the questions to ask. So foster care really is that temporary care. So if you are a foster parent, a child will be placed in your home for a temporary period of time, and the goal is for them to be reunified and move back in with their parents. It's never going to be a long-term option. They likely still have visits with their family that foster parents need to help maintain, and it is important for foster parents to be supportive of those connections. So foster care really is the temporary care.
Mm-hmm.
Kinship care can kind of be foster care or adoption. It can be formal or informal, meaning with or without child welfare involvement. And kinship care means that you are caring for a child essentially that you know. So it could be, you know, a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, a neighbor's child that you see a lot, or a friend's child, someone from church, or your coworker's child, a child that you know, though, a kinship or a relative provider. So again, this could be temporary. Maybe you are caring for, you know, your grandchild for a short period of time, or it could go to a permanency option as well. So it's kind of, can be a little bit of both, can be a little bit confusing, but essentially it's a child that you know.
Okay.
And then adoption happens after a child has been in foster care and a judge has determined that it's not safe for them to go back home. So some foster care placements can result in an adoption, but mm-hmm. not always. If a judge decides it's not safe for them to go back home and they can't be reunified, relatives and those kinship options are often the first people asked to adopt that child. If there aren't any relatives, then a child's foster parent might be asked. And if there still is not a foster care option to adopt that child, then social workers will start exploring new families, which is kind of where the general public comes in, who are waiting to adopt, you know, any of the children in foster care. So adoption is that permanency option long term.
Okay. Is it required by people to be a foster parent before they can adopt through this kind of a program?
The short answer is no, okay. Though all families who want to adopt through this program will also be foster care licensed for the purpose of adoption.
Okay.
But families oftentimes come to the program and say, I just want to adopt a child from foster care, and that's perfectly fine.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, what does the licensing and approval process entail?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first step is going to be some training pieces, typically an agency orientation where you learn a little bit more about the process and whatever agency you're working with, their policies. And then there's also an initial education class that families have to take where you'll learn about attachment, different mental health diagnoses, transcultural parenting, birth family connections, prudent parenting, a lot of different topics. It can be very information heavy, but it's also important as you're going into this process to have that knowledge. After the training pieces, families will fill out an application packet, and this includes background checks, medical reports, self-assessment questions, reference letters, among other pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So those first couple steps are kind of at the family's own pace as you can complete them and as you can get the application in. Once you have the application in, you'll start the home study interviews and the licensing process.
Okay.
The interviews, there's typically 3 to 4, and it ends with a walkthrough of the family's home to make sure the place is licensable. And then after the interviews have been completed and a family is determined to be, you know, able to be foster care licensed, the social worker will write the home study document. And then once that is complete is when families can start, you know, having kids in their home.
Okay. And I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, these are questions that you're able to answer. They're not like out in the woods. They're just questions to make sure that this is really what you're wanting to do so you understand the whole process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's very common. And that's kind of what we're here for, is to answer any of those questions that come up.
Okay. So can families, and I'm assuming the answer is yes, can families foster children before they decide to adopt then on the opposite end of the question?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I get this question from families, my first question back is, what is your ultimate goal? If a family is, you know, solely wanting to adopt, they will move through the process as an adoptive family. And the matching process looks a little different in that aspect compared to families that are open to fostering, kind of that temporary care. Because sometimes there are families that are like, you know, I want to be that temporary home, but if, you know, it goes to adoption, we're open to that too. But families that want to adopt, typically they don't foster the child first because it can feel like, you know, trying them on for size.
Which,
these kids have, you know, experienced lots of loss in their life. And the last thing we would want to do is, you know, give them another loss if we say, you know, this family might adopt you. And then if the family ultimately says no, like I said, that's another loss. So there's lots of meetings that take place before that and reviewing records so that the family has all the information that they possibly can before making that decision. And it can seem a little confusing, so it ultimately depends on what the family's goal is. But all the workers want to set families up for success and the children up for success as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. What's one thing that families should know if they're wanting to foster or adopt either one?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the biggest thing is to have resilience and to have open expectations. I think as humans and especially as parents, it's very common to have, you know, expectations of this is how I think it's going to play out, or this is how I've seen it play out in, you know, other families or on TV, that kind of thing. But to have open expectations, because, you know, the kids in care have experienced traumatic and abusive situations, and they need adults who aren't going to give up on them, aren't going to get frustrated and kind of throw in the towel when things get hard. So just being open and being your child's biggest advocate and supporter is going to be crucial throughout the process.
Yeah. You know, one of the myths that you hear a lot is how expensive adoption is. Like, oh, I would love to adopt, but there's no way I could afford to adopt. Can you speak to that?
Definitely, yeah. So this is going to be true for international and private infant adoptions, which is different than our program. So adopting a child through the foster care system is essentially free. The Minnesota Department of Children, Youth, and Families has contracts with 6 adoption agencies to provide foster care adoption services at no cost to families. So the training is free, the home study is free,
wow.
Which is not the case typically for international or private infant adoptions. So pretty much the whole process, there aren't a lot of things that families have to pay for. Sometimes with the licensing piece, one of the things that's required is a fire extinguisher, so families might have to go out and purchase that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the pieces that families would have to pay for up front, like a child's birth certificate at the time of a finalization, can also get reimbursed by the state.
Wow.
So there really are no fees to adopt a child through the foster care system.
Wow, that's good to know, right? Because then people are like, oh, I've wanted to adopt and I couldn't afford it before. This gives them an option.
Absolutely, yeah.
How long does this process take? You know, I'm assuming that if you are willing to adopt, you know that it may take some time to adopt.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not a fast or easy process by any means. And workers really need to make sure that families are going to be committed to the process, mm-hmm. and prepared to parent a child or sibling group that, you know, comes from a trauma background. So a very, very rough estimate that I give families is approximately 2 years from start, you know, today, to a finished adoption finalization. And that includes a couple months on the front end to complete the training and the application. The home study itself takes approximately 4 months is the timeline given by the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. And then the matching process varies. I've seen families match with a child within 3 months after their home study is complete, and I've also seen families wait a year until a child moves into their home. So it's really dependent on a family's openness. Kim talked last week about the need really is for older children, for sibling groups, and families that are willing to parent children who have emotional and behavioral needs. So your openness, if it aligns with that, typically, you know, you'll have a match faster. Mm-hmm. And then once a child moves into your home, the adoption finalization in the court and getting all the paperwork approved typically takes about 3 to 6 months. So that kind of brings us close to that 2-year mark again, which is like a very vague, rough estimate.
Sure. But it just takes time. And, you know, if you're committed to the process and you're committed to having a child, it's a lifetime. So, you know, sometimes it takes a little while.
Absolutely. That patience is important for life.
I think we've talked too in the past with others about this process that, you know, maybe you have had a family and you have never had a child that has dealt with some of the emotional issues or abuse issues possibly that some of the kids that are looking for, you know, adoption have gone through. But to me, you guys offer a lot of classes and information on this that really any family could benefit to learn from.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our education program, we had them on earlier in the month, I believe. We have so many webinars, so many things that I find helpful too for my, you know, personal life and professional life. So we have that. And then all the therapeutic resources too, really like our agency, we work primarily with foster care, kinship care, and adoptive families. But all of the services and the therapeutic resources that we give can be helpful for any family. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. If there is a family that's listening today that wants to get started in this process, what is the first step?
Yeah, so the first step is going to be some education classes, and if families want to reach out to us, I can send them that link right over so they can look at times and get registered. So connecting with us is a great place, and we will send you the agencies so that you can look into all the agencies as well as the education classes, like I mentioned.
Okay. Wow. What, you know, I always like to get to know the people that we interview. Haley, why did you decide to go into working with Foster Adopt Minnesota?
Yeah, I have adoption has touched me in my personal life within my family, and it's always been something that has kind of tugged on my heartstrings. So it really was my first job out of college. I started working in Wisconsin, and I've just loved the community, and it's felt very, you know, comforting, and I've made some good professional connections, and it's just kept me here, and it feels really good.
I love that. I often wonder, you know, about adopting. If you're interested in adopting as a parent and you still have kids at home, or maybe you have even adult kids, are there classes about how to talk to them about it? Because sometimes they're like, you're going to do what? Adopt somebody, but they're outside of our family. How are we going to make this work? Are there classes for those kind of families too?
There are some trainings. There are some books. I think even getting connected to therapy resources and starting those conversations, even just like yourself and a therapist, or, you know, your adult child and a therapist, is so important, because if there are other kids in the home, making sure that they are on board is going to be essential. Yeah. And that is part of the home study process. Is that if there are kids in the home, and even adult children who may not be in the home anymore, your social worker is going to want to connect with them just to kind of gauge where they're at and see what their support level is going to be moving forward.
Right, because it could be completely different than what they're thinking, and in the end, they could love it, or it could be something that's just not going to work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you want to make sure we take care of the kids first and foremost to get them in the homes that they deserve.
Definitely. Yeah. Yep. We always say that our goal is to find families for children, not children for families.
Yep. That's a great statement. I appreciate you so much spending some time with us today and explaining what you do. And again, if people want to learn more about the Zero Kids Waiting program, or if they want to learn more about adopting, what is a website they could go to?
Yeah, so fosteradoptmn.org is our website. You can find us there. And you can email me, too, at info@fosteradoptmn.org.
All right. Haley, thanks so much. It's Haley Wiseman here today, part of the Zero Kids Waiting Program at Foster Adopt Minnesota. I believe we have one or two more episodes in our series talking about foster adoption. But certainly, if you have any questions, if it's something that you've been thinking about, you know, we've learned that adoptive parents, foster parents, kinship care, it can be all different ages. You could be a grandmother. You could be a younger adult. You can be single or a married couple. There's lots of different families out there, and they all look a little bit different. Minnesota Foster Adoption is really there for the kids and the families, trying to make all of that work for you.